Hell froze over, so here comes the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The very best Medicare podcast in the whole wide world. He's still fighting the war of northern aggression, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another thrill-packed episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It is so wonderful to have you here with us today. We are going to try to infuse some confidence about Medicare so that when you have a Medicare encounter in your future, that will be encountered and it will be successfully pulled off, successfully accommodated by your skill that you've gained from listening to this podcast. I should write this stuff down before the podcast episode instead of making it up on the fly. What I would like to do is to infuse confidence in the listening audience for their upcoming encounter with Medicare. And the way that I do that is to offer people the opportunity to purchase an excellent how-to book about Medicare called Medicare for the Lazy Man. The current edition is the 2024 edition. So if you were to go to barnesandnoble.com or to amazon.com and put Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 in the search window, you'll be staring at the cover of a book that's taken years to perfect. And it will tell you almost everything that anyone should ever need to know about Medicare. There may be some weirdo out there that has a question that nobody can answer, but for the most part, your questions about Medicare will be answered. Your direction through Medicare enrollment will be clear, and the end result, the goal that you should be expecting to achieve, will be very, very easy to understand and quite reasonable. So purchase Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 at Amazon.com. You can get one of four different different types of books. You can get the Audible. You can get the Kindle ebook version. You can get the paperback version. And you can get the magnificent hardcover library quality edition. You know how library books are built to withstand a lot of abuse over the years. People read them and toss them back in the car and take them back to the library whenever they feel like it. And they're put back on the shelf and then they're lent out to some other cretin who doesn't know how to treat a book properly. Well, that's the quality you're going to find, the durability and the beauty in the $24 Amazon hardcover version of Medicare for the Lazy Man. So why don't you join us in reading about Medicare in the one source that will give you the best and easiest to comprehend Medicare knowledge that you need, and that's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. Speaking of lazy men, Randy Carson is sitting right across the screen from me, and it seems like his eyelids are getting a little droopy. He said he got up early this morning. I don't know if he accomplished what he had in his list of things to do, but let's find out. Randy, good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Jones.
It's always a pleasure.
I'm gaining a little bit of awareness with the more coffee I put into myself. So yeah, we're doing okay. Good. I thought I would mention it. I don't know if I did, but since the new Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 came out, and yes, as you know, I bought two copies, like you were holding, suggest.
You were holding them up, and I know that one of those is going to be given away to one of your relatives that comes a call in every once in a while.
Yes, I wrapped the second one up and gave it to my grandson. He turned three just this last weekend. And he wants me to read it to him at bedtime.
Well, you know something, that's a lucky kid to have a thoughtful grandfather such as yourself, and to be able to read the entertaining stories contained in that book. He's going to be very knowledgeable. In fact, he could even, you know how some kids are motivated by medical stories that they hear when they're a little child, little children. Yeah, well, yeah, he could be inspired to become an insurance man.
It was just like you, in the early days of this podcast, I used to tell stories, and I'll bring him up to stay, bring him up to date just a little bit. But when you were a little boy, I heard that you used to wear a suit and tie, a bow tie, and that what you were looking for underneath the Christmas tree were insurance application forms. Is that true?
They came on a pad and you'd tear them off one by one as you found, as you found amenable potential clients.
Yeah.
So yes, that's all true and more. There's even more disgusting things about me that are true from my childhood.
But did you have a bow tie?
Well, I did, because when my father came up from Oklahoma to go to work in downtown Chicago, he wore a bow tie back then. I think it was a fashion statement that wasn't ridiculed at the time. But he also allowed us how he used his accent to great effect. So his strong Oklahoma accent stood him in good stead as the go-between between two hard-driving, hugely successful insurance types. One was my grandfather. The other was a guy that worked for him that was responsible ultimately for the formation of the McDonald's franchise operation and eventually the Holiday Inn franchise operation. And probably a lot more smaller things too. He was a nice guy, but he and my grandfather didn't always see eye to eye. And my father played on his hillbilly persona to disarm both of them when when negotiations were needed. So he used his bow tie for that. And I think I was probably 5 or 6 years old before I realized I looked more suitable in a regular tie.
Well, I heard that about you. I talked to members of your family and, they talked about that, very, very vivid memories of you, at Christmas time. There's pictures in the family, about you coming running out of your bedroom on Christmas morning in your suit with your little bow tie, looking for your Christmas pad of applications for insurance.
And of course, my goal would be to use them all up on insurance prospects before next Christmas so I could get a new pad, with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally get it.
I'll tell you what we did do, though, is we did use a reel-to-reel tape recorder to record the Christmas festivities. So we'd start on Christmas Eve, and my grandfather, who had stentorian-sounding vocal cords, would introduce the tape, talk about what year it was, what had happened during the year, introduce everybody in the room, and then we would open or start the recording again in the morning as the kids came running in to find out what Santa Claus brought them. And I still have all of those recordings. I've transferred them to more modern media, but I don't know if any of my progeny will be interested in them, but I could not bear to think of getting rid of them.
Oh, heavens no. Heavens no. So anyway, I'm really glad to hear that you archived all that information away, because unfortunately in my family, we didn't have any such thing. We've got a lot of pictures, but no audio at all. So,
I would have to say that my family was forward thinking in that regard. And thinking about the rest of this episode, I'm kind of forward thinking too. Last time we dilly-dallied too long, we probably ought to get cooking now.
As we say in the Midwest, let's get her done.
Let's get her done. All righty. I'm going to start with an article about vaccinations. And it's something I never liked when I was a kid, because when we moved up from Oklahoma, my pediatrician was the first guy I ever saw in my life with a shaved head. His name was Dr. Olaus, and he had a big, giant Victorian house. I'm pretty sure he lived in the downstairs, and the upstairs was his medical office. And he was a scary, scary guy. There was really no rational reason for that. I had never seen a guy with a shaved head before. So I've got to push that memory out of my head while I discuss vaccinations. And the headline on this article is, "Are you 65 plus? Here's a rundown on recommended vaccines and how Medicare covers them." And it's one of these savvy senior columns from Jim, whatever his name is, in Oklahoma City. Jim Miller. How could I forget a name like Miller? Anyway, it's "Dear Savvy Senior, my husband and I recently turned 65 and would like to find out which vaccines are recommended and covered by Medicare." New beneficiaries is how the woman signed it. And so The savvy senior said, "Dear New, all recommended vaccines for adults age 65 and older should be covered by either Medicare Part B as in boy or Part D as in dog. But there are some coverage challenges you should be aware of. Here's a rundown of which vaccines are recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention." They don't spell it properly. The acronym is CDC, even though they've tacked a few words on since the original foundation of the Centers for Disease Control. Starting with COVID-19, we all know that. That's fresh in our minds because there was a little bit of a kerfluffle as to whether the vaccines that were brought out for COVID-19 were effective and harmless. Even though COVID-19 is no longer a public health emergency, it can still cause severe illness, particularly in older adults. Because the COVID virus continues to mutate, new vaccines are being developed to keep pace, so the CDC recommends that all seniors stay up to date with the latest COVID vaccines, including booster shots. Okay, that's a matter of opinion. All COVID-19 shots are covered 100% by Medicare Part B. Now, how about flu? Flu is considered an annual vaccination, and most people of all ages receive flu shots in the fall when the flu season begins. Now, stepping out of my reporter's booth for a minute here, I will say that my opinion is that the flu shot is a crap shot. It's made up to fight what they think is going to be the common flu virus in that particular season, and I think they probably miss as often as they hit. So back to the article, the CDC recommends seniors 65 and older get a high-dose flu shot for extra protection beyond what a standard flu shot offers. The Fluzone high-dose quadrivalent, FLUAD quadrivalent, and the Flublok quadrivalent are your three options. Annual flu shots are covered under Medicare Part B, as in boy. Pneumonia. These vaccines help protect against pneumococcal disease, which can cause pneumonia, meningitis, and other infections. The CDC recommends that everybody 65 years and older get a pneumococcal vaccine. There are several different vaccine options available, so talk to your doctor or pharmacist to find out which is best for you, or go to the CDC's pneumococcal vaccination webpage at cdc.gov/vpd/pneumo/public/index.html. And if you, I'm not reading that again. You can just play this back more slowly. Medicare Part B as in boy covers both single dose and two dose pneumococcal shots once in your lifetime. Shingles. Caused by the same virus that causes chickenpox, shingles is a painful, blistering skin rash that affects more than 1 million Americans every year. I've known a few people that had shingles, and I got to tell you, they were not happy campers. All people over age 50 are recommended to get the two-dose Shingrix vaccine, which is given 2 to 6 months apart, even if you previously received Zostavax. In 2020, Shingrix replaced Zostavax, which is no longer available in the U.S. All Medicare Part D as in dog prescription drug plans cover shingles vaccinations, but coverage amounts and reimbursement rules vary depending on where the shot is given. And it says to check your plan, which often is easier said than done. And here's something I've never heard of before, Tdap. So it's tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, which is whooping cough. They're diseases caused by bacteria that can lead to serious illness and death. Therefore, a one-time dose of the Tdap vaccine is recommended to all adults. If you've already had a Tdap shot, you should get a tetanus diphtheria booster shot every 10 years. All Medicare Part D as in dog plans cover these vaccinations. And here's a new one, relatively new one, RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. That can lead to pneumonia or bronchiolitis, and can worsen other chronic conditions common among older adults, such as asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The CDC recommends all adults 60 and older talk to their doctor about getting one of these RSV vaccines. and usually in the fall and winter months when the virus is most prevalent. Most Medicare Part D as in dog plans cover the RSV vaccine, but not all. If your plan doesn't cover it, you can ask for a coverage exception. You can also pay for the shot out of your pocket and then follow up with your plan to get reimbursed. If you pay for the shot up front, your plan must pay you back if they cover the shot, I'm assuming. If they don't cover the shot at all, then you're out in the cold. Well, you're not out in the cold. You're protected from the disease, but you will have paid for the shot out of your pocket. There are other vaccines that you may need depending on your health, lifestyle, or travel plans. To help you get a handle on which ones are appropriate for you, take the CDC's quiz. What vaccines do you need? And you can find that. Oh boy, here we go again. We can find that at www.cdc.gov/NIP/adultimmsched. Oh, that's it. Also, talk to your doctor during your next visit about what vaccinations you should get. Okay. I am going to now delve into the shingles vaccine information, and I'm mostly going to do that because shingles is something that's really not familiar to me. I don't think I ever had it when I was a kid, and it may be that other adults are in need of some more knowledge about this. But first things first, we've got to play a few little ditties. I hope there is a music bed behind each one, just for your amusement and entertainment, but somebody will send money for Randy and I to have our annual Christmas party with, and so I'm going to quiet down and let the commercials play right now. Ooh, that was fun. That was fun. Let's talk about shingles, shall we? The question on this article is, does Medicare cover the shingles vaccine? And I think we all know the answer to that. It certainly does. Shingles vaccine covered by Medicare. If you've ever had chickenpox in your childhood, chances are you're likely to develop shingles in the future. Now, see, this is where I would normally lose interest in the article because I never had chickenpox. I had a lot of other stuff, measles, two different kinds of measles and other things like that, but I never had chickenpox. While people might assume that shingles, a painful blistering rash, only affects older adults, one in three adults who have had chickenpox are susceptible to it. Here's what you need to know about shingles and the vaccine. Shingles is a viral infection caused by the same virus responsible for chickenpox. One out of three people in any age in the U.S. will develop shingles. The CDC recommends Shingrix to prevent shingles and related complications, and Medicare Part D and Medicare Advantage plans cover the shingles vaccine with no out-of-pocket costs. So what is shingles? Shingles, also known as herpes zoster, is a viral infection caused by a virus. Well, I took out a few words in there that are very superfluous to this whole thing. It's important to know that it is a virus. It's the same virus that causes chickenpox. When a person of any age gets the virus, some of the virus remains dormant in the central nerve cells. When the immune system is challenged by stress, the virus can reactivate as shingles. Well, that's how it happens. I never knew that. Most commonly, though, shingles causes a painful rash that may appear as blisters across the stomach area. Sometimes the shingles rash occurs around the eye, neck, or face. Shingles vaccination, boy, there's really nothing highlighted on this page. I'm thinking it might be a waste of your time. So let's go down to the area where it talks about Medicare paying for it. The shingles vaccine is covered by Medicare Part D as in dog, with no out-of-pocket costs. Under most private health insurance plans, the vaccine is covered without any cost to members. If you don't have Medicare prescription drug coverage or don't yet qualify for Medicare, the full price for two doses of Shingrix vaccine is about $400. Medicare Advantage plans typically covers the vaccine without any out-of-pocket costs to the individual members. When do I need? What age do I need the shingles vaccine? Adults 50 years and older should get the Shingrix vaccine to prevent shingles and the complications from the disease. And then the next question is, do I really need a shingles vaccine? About one in three people in the U.S. will develop shingles during their lifetime. The virus stays inactive in the body for life and can reactivate years or even decades later, causing shingles. About 99% of U.S. adults have had chickenpox and are therefore at risk for shingles. The likelihood of developing shingles increases with age. Unvaccinated adults who live to age 80 have about a 50% chance of developing shingles at some point during their life. Individuals should get the shingles vaccine even if in the past they have had the shingles virus or received the vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine. I haven't had either of those, I don't think. Where can I get the shingles vaccine? It is available in most neighborhood pharmacies and doctor's offices. You do not need a prescription from your doctor to receive the vaccine from a pharmacist. You can sign up for an appointment online or at the pharmacy in person. Keep in mind that shingles vaccine requires two shots that are given between 2 and 6 months apart. More than 95% of Medicare Part D enrollees receive the shingles vaccine at pharmacies. The Shingrix vaccine is given in two doses, 2 to 6 months apart, on the average about 3 months between doses. Based on the available data, the vaccine lasts very long and there is no requirement for a booster shot 10 or 15 years later. The shingles vaccine works by reinforcing the immune system to control the latent virus in the body, preventing flare-ups. It does not contain a live virus. Can you still get shingles after the vaccine? Yes, it is possible, but the risk is very small. Is shingles contagious? No, shingles is not contagious. It is not possible to catch shingles from an individual who has shingles, but it's possible to get chickenpox from somebody who has shingles if you have direct contact with the fluid from a shingles rash, if you are immunocompromised, if you never had chickenpox, or if you never got vaccinated against chickenpox. So I had probably better stay away from people that have shingles. I don't want to get direct contact with the fluid from the shingles rash. How long does shingles last? The shingles rash can last 2 to 4 weeks. However, shingles can cause nerve pain that can last for months or even years. Even after the rash is gone, some may experience a condition called postherpetic neuralgia, which can cause intense pain where the rash was. The pain can be very difficult to treat, especially in older adults. Well, that sounds pretty scary, and I'm going to avoid anybody that I know that's got shingles, because I don't want to be getting any shingles or chickenpox in my body. Okay, here's a whole new subject. I'm sure all of you anti-shingles people are going to be happy to hear that I'm moving on to a completely unrelated subject. CMS caps broker payments in Medicare Advantage. This has been big talk amongst insurance agents for quite some time because there's been so many complaints about the poor marketing practices used by Medicare Advantage. I'm going to try to clean it up a little bit and call them Medicare Advantage zombies. These people that walk around just plugging one product and one product only without concern for the welfare of their clientele. They're always selling Medicare plans. And the reason for that is because they make a whole lot more money selling when I say Medicare, I mean Medicare Advantage. They make a whole lot more money every time they wrangle a Medicare Advantage victim than they would if they do what I do, and that is only sell Medicare supplement plans. Far superior coverage, more cost, but better protection. The marketing practices have been so egregious that the federal government's been trying to figure out an effective way to dial it back, to force these people to behave more responsibly. They can't seem to find a way to do that that everybody can agree on. So they have put in new regulations about recording every telephone call that one makes with a client. Well, I rarely ever talk to my client, so I'm not recording any phone calls because there aren't any to record. You're supposed to read a disclaimer every time you talk to the client, and the disclaimer is a very lengthy couple of sentences, either based on the fact that you only represent a few of the products available in their area, or that you represent every product in the area, but if you want to learn more, go to the government website. Well, frankly, I don't talk to my clients on the phone that often. When I do, I give them more credit for being more intelligent than the average person that gets sucked in by a Medicare Advantage ad. So I'm not their most cooperative guy, but also I'm not one of the people that causes these problems that people are suffering at the hands of Medicare Advantage salesmen. So all of these rules have now been trumped by a rule that reduces the agent's commission. Actually, what it does is it caps the agent's commission. It doesn't allow an insurance company to offer an agent bonus money on top of the commission that the Medicare Advantage plan is paying that agent. So what happens is if I were to sell a Medicare Advantage plan to somebody, they would pay me a very, very generous commission, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of $600 for the first year. Now, I can also go to my upline, they call it, the people that I am getting my sales support from, and ask them for bonus money or advertising compensation or any number of other things they call it. But basically, it involves more cash given to me for my sales activities. Maybe it's a bonus based on my success. If I sell a whole lot of Medicare Advantage plans, they'll give me an extra bonus for each of my applicants. And the other thing that I can do is be paid an extra bonus to go out and get my clients to fill out a health questionnaire that might show that they have diseases that are really much more horrendous than the government assumed when I originally sent my application in. If that's the case, the government gets to pay more money to the insurance company because the people are sicker than average, and I would get a chunk of that money plus a bonus for getting the people to fill out the questionnaire. So all of this stuff is a whole bunch of money flowing out of the treasury and into the hands of these people that are kind of prone to perform less than savory sales activities. So the government has decided one way to do it is to clamp down on the extra bonus money that these people can make. And then step two is to give them an extra $100 to raise the price that they get, or the commission they get for a Medicare Advantage application, from $600 to over $700. So that's pretty, I would say that's counteractive. It's counterintuitive. They're going to cap the cost, but then they say, but we'll give you an extra $100 on top of that. The rule that they've written and that they've promulgated is 1,327 pages. And people wonder what all the lawyers are doing out there in the world. They're working in Washington to write new rules. Isn't that wonderful? We all get new rules. It aims to stop brokers, insurance brokers, from steering beneficiaries to certain plans in exchange for higher reimbursements from insurers, while giving them more predictable compensation. Curbing the predatory marketing is important for Medicare enrollees. It's common to rely on brokers when selecting coverage. Roughly a third of Medicare Advantage beneficiaries use the intermediaries, brokers, insurance brokers, to help them shop between plans. In turn, agents receive a fixed amount from Medicare, usually $600 for initial sales and $300 for renewals, along with add-on payments from health plans for services like marketing or health adjustments. That's the result of the question that I mentioned. As a result, brokers can collect upwards of $1,300 per enrollee each year. That's more than double the maximum commission set by the government. So the government says don't pay commissions of any more than $600, but these insurance companies find a way to do it to compensate these brokers for their less than savory marketing activities. That financial incentive, coupled with the fact that brokers are not required to inform consumers about all plans available in the area, has resulted in beneficiaries being steered to plans that are not best for their needs. When the regulation was first proposed last November, analysts said removing the incentive would also help smaller health plans with fewer marketing resources compete for members against the larger health plans that might have more money to pay brokers. United Healthcare and Humana, the two largest Medicare Advantage plans in the U.S., say they were against a universal broker compensation amount in comment on the rule. However, We're not sure how disruptive this will be or how much it might level the playing field. The final rule also prohibits contacts between Medicare Advantage plans and marketing middlemen like field marketing organizations that result in things like volume-based bonuses and marketing organizations are no longer allowed to share beneficiary information with each other unless they receive the beneficiary's written consent. Volume-based bonuses or enrollment in certain ways. The rule is the CMS's, the government's, latest action to curb Medicare Advantage marketing misconduct after regulators banned misleading TV ads last year. Beneficiary complaints of inappropriate Medicare Advantage marketing more than doubled from 2020 to 2021, according to an investigation by the Senate Finance Committee. The report found that beneficiaries were sometimes enrolled in plans without their consent or had their coverage switched to a plan that did not include their doctors. The final rule also includes provisions geared toward increasing the use of supplemental benefits, including requiring plans to send out mid-year notices informing beneficiaries of all the extra goodies that their plan contains. Beneficiary complaints of inappropriate Medicare Advantage marketing more than doubled. Yes, I read that. Supplemental benefits like dental coverage and subsidized gym memberships are cited heavily in plan marketing, but some payers have indicated that enrollees' utilization of the benefits is low. This push is important to ensure more than $65 billion in taxpayer dollars paid to the Medicare Advantage plans and rebates each year will not be used just for marketing. The rule also requires Medicare Advantage plans to provide research backing up assertions that particular supplements benefits actually improve the health of the chronically ill enrollees. And it requires Medicare Advantage payers to analyze the plan's policies for health equity once a year to identify inappropriate care denials or delays for disabled or low-income enrollees. All right, so they're going to do that for poor people. Apparently, they're not going to try to do that for middle-class people, for the average citizen, but that is one of the big frustrations that Medicare Advantage plans have. They will deny or delay benefits for people who, if they can get away with it, basically is what it's all about. So that's one of the reasons I recommend no Medicare Advantage plans to my clients. Randy, I know you have opinions about Medicare Advantage plans, but we really don't have a lot of time to hear them. If you got a shortened version, I'd be happy to hear your attitude.
Well, I'll just mention one of the more recent little catchphrases I dreamt up as related to Medicare Advantage. DDD.
Denial, detached, what is it? Denial. Oh, laid on me. Delay. Again. It was clever.
Delay, deny, and then death.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's what happens. If it happens once, it's too frequent, but it has been happening more frequently, and people are finally suing. And in a recent episode, we heard about a couple of the biggest companies being sued by survivors of people who died because their treatment that doctors deemed to be necessary was delayed or refused.
And I want a 20-something college graduate who has nothing to do with Medicare or medical knowledge, just picking numbers out of a book. That's what I want.
Well, unfortunately, the reality was a little scarier than that. It was AI that did it. Oh, it was an AI platform with a 90% failure rate.
You know what AI stands for, right? Some people think it stands for artificial intelligence, but that's not true. I know that AI stands for artificial insurance. That's what I know.
Yeah, it written on tissue paper.
Yeah, I got it. Well, anyway, we need to close up shop. We're coming into the airport. We're on final, coming in on 33 left, I believe, today. But before we do, I want to mention a few things that I always like to do before the 75-cent clock does stop. Get out your pencil and write this down. It's an email address that could be very important to you. dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget that Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. I think we got some pretty cool stuff going on there. We would appreciate it if you run across in your wanderings through the internet a way to drop a couple reviews for us. We would certainly like it. The numbers are all important to us, no matter what time of the year it is. And last but not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been a number of different places doing 99 different things, but you weren't. You were with us, which is exactly where we like to have you, with us on Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. But as always, I find out that our people are generally not watching their watch. So you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma. No more. Now he lives behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in the high ground. And I'm checking the temperatures. We're heading for 85 degrees today. So I'm going to bring it down just a little bit so it's a little bit warmer for him. Okay, 12,700 feet.
I can take a deep breath of that clean, clear air up in that 12,000-foot zone. But thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We thoroughly enjoy having you with us, and we're looking forward to seeing you again in our next episode. Bye-bye.